So basically, we have this question about rope.
Oh, he said he's gonna be here in like 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay, so so basically, you got question is by Shkita, you have to shaft the rove of the simanim majority. So the question is, what about if you do exactly 50%? So that's enough like this. Because exactly 50% is considered like rove, because exactly 50%. Is like as much as the rest of it. So you could argue that's all you need for shechita. You don't have to have more than the rest of it. Just that's a majority. But 50% is considered like rov according to Rav. So the Gemara asks from the case of a treifa, because the halacha is if an animal has a hole, a broken windpipe, a broken majority of the windpipe is cut, so then it gets treifa. Basically, it means it's gonna die. It's like that's a wound which it's going to die from. And then it's not kosher. It's treif. So the question is, the Gemara has a case, let's say exactly 50% of the windpipe is cut. So the Gemara holds kosher. It's not a treif. If exactly 50% of the windpipe is cut, it's not a treif. It's not like it's all cut. You don't say 50% is like the whole thing. Right, so you see, that's a question on Rav, because Rav holds when it comes to Shechita, if you cut 50%, it's like you cut the whole thing. 50% is like Midah, it's like Kulo, it's like majority, it's like the whole thing. So Rav holds 50% is like a Kulo, but yeah, when it comes to a Treifa, you see 50% doesn't make it a Treifa. So what is his position about Ruba Kulo? Does 50% work or not? And you see Rav's universal position, it's not just about Shechita. See, more applies it to Kalim and to other stuff. So does he hold 50% is kikula or not? So my answer is, treifa is different. Treifa is different because you need a rove which is nearer lainayim, a rove which is noticeable, visible, apparent, right? And therefore, 50% is not sufficient. You need 51% or more. You need more. So our question is, what do you mean? But if you're telling me universally 50% is kikula, right, it's defined as rovens, like kulo. So how could you say this is different? Just not, sounds like a, just an excuse. Oh yeah, no, shechita is treif is different. So we said that the havin maskana is, how does it work by treifa? What's the halacha by treifa? Is it pshat that if the entire long windpipe is gone, it's a treifa? And the halacha is ruba kulo, that majority is the same as the whole thing. Then, if you tell me that Ruba Kula universally works by 50%, then so do here. 50% is a Kula. Or do you say no, that the halacha has nothing to do with Kula? The halacha by the windpipe is not that if Kula is gone, and then Ruba Kula. But it's a separate halacha. The Torah posits that by treifa, what makes it a treifa is a majority of the windpipe being broken. Not because rov is like kulo, that's just halacha. By the food pipe, any amount, by the windpipe, it's rov. Now, what kind of rov? So it's saying, yeah, it's rov in Erlei Naim. It's a different type of rov. It's a visible rov, an apparent rov, whatever. And the fact that universally rov is 50%, that's when you're talking about rov, ruba, kakula. Tell me rov equals the whole thing, that's 50%. But this is not saying that it equals the whole thing. This is just a separate halacha, that if it's majority, a visible majority of it is broken, then it's a treifa. So that has nothing to do with the universal machlokes about what's considered rav. So that's a rav answers. Right? That's what I said yesterday. The question is though, what's the sense? One question is we have to get into what does it mean exactly, rav and anayim. Separate halacha by treifa. It's a unique thing by treifa. Okay, that you need rav and early anayim. So that's what's a little bit bothersome. Like, so what's the sense of that?
Right.
Is like, is that just, that's it? That's just the answer? Or could we explain that a little bit? What's the sense of saying that you need it to be rov on Erlein Ayim? If you tell me rov is 50%, halachically 50% equals rov, according to Rav. So now what? By treifa, in order to render the animal treifa, so now it has to be visible. A visible rov. Nikar, a real rov, which is noticeable, which means more than 50%. Right, but why would you say, what's the argument to say that treifa needs that? Is that just, the Gemara is just answering it? Apparently that's the case? Or is there some sort of a svara that we can get for that? And on the surface, it's funny, because you're trying to determine whether it's a treifa. Treifa means the animal's not going to live. Now, who cares whether it's nira leinayim, whether a person who looks at it will say it's rov, or it's obviously rov, not obviously rov. I mean, what is it? Is it rov or is it not rov? Is it going to, you know, like halachically, what is it? Is it broken? Is it not broken? Is the pipe considered broken? Is the pipe considered not broken? Right? So why should Nirlei Naim have anything to do with whether its status is a trefa or not? Interesting altogether. This is interesting altogether because the whole idea of trefa is that it's assumed that it's going to die.
Right.
Halachically, these trefas are things that have a wound which is assumed to die. It's going to die soon. But you see, like, you could ask a question. How could you say whether it's a trefa or not depends on whether you say rov is 50% or 51%. What's the facts? Is it going to die at 50%? Is it not going to die? Right? But you see that apparently we don't just go and check out the medical facts. As the given in the Masorah is that a break in the broken majority about windpipe is considered broken. Now you have to apply principles. If you say rov 50%, 51%, whatever it is, now you just have to set it down to the halachic system, and whatever the halachic system pops out, that's the point. There's a broken windpipe, and you don't. It's not like the. I don't think you resolve these machloksim by checking out the medicine of it, but it's a halachic system. So now what it's saying is halachically this is rov. Then fine, this is rov, and not, you know. So that's just interesting, is that it's nice. It's rooted in medical, in medicine, and what will make it live, but at the same time, it's halachified. It's based upon, it's formalized as a halachic system. But still, the question is this idea of nicker, rovin nirlanayim. Why is that? What's the sense of that? Could we justify that at all? I think it's a hard problem. It's like somewhat speculative. First of all, we're not really holding a trefos at all. This isn't our sugya. And it's like, it's somewhat of like a why question. I mean, you could say, luckily, that's what they're saying. So I just have an approach. But I'm not, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on it. So I'm not, you know, I'm not that confident in it. I'd like to move on to, you know, more of the definitions of it. But the thing is like this, is that maybe it means like this. We don't really know. You can't really tell if the animal's going to die or not going to die. Okay? Like, that's the underlying idea of a trefa, whether it's going to die, does it have a mortal wound, or does it not. But we can't really tell. So what the Torah did is it gave us, like, simanim, by which signs which we measure its life, its ability to live or its inability to live. You check the lung, you check the this, you check the that, and the shochet or whatever, the posek checks the trefas. So the Torah set up, and we're not doctors, we don't do a medical examination, but the Torah gave simanim, halachic simanim, by which you could check these different parts and everything, other different ways of doing it. And there's measures, but these are not actually accessing life and death. We don't know how to figure out whether it's really going to live or really going to die. The Torah gave us simanim. Okay? Simanim, which are indicators of life and death, and the Torah says its status as a trefa goes by these indicators. Okay? We can't access the underlying reality. We can access these indicators, and that is the Shem Trefa. Trefa means it has indicators of death or indicators of life, that kind of thing. You know, it has indicators that it's going to die. So maybe he's saying is that when it comes to an indicator, it makes sense that you can have an indicator which is nicker, which is nearer. To say the indicator is an immeasurable quantity of 50, exactly 50%, which doesn't really appear like rov, and it's not something that a person would ever say is rov, that's not a good indicator of rov. Whereas technically speaking, you're saying 50% is technically speaking halachically rov. But it's not a person who looks at it, knows if the halacha is rov, so you'll say 51% the person looks at it, or 55% the person looks at it, he says, it's majority cut. So 50%, the person looks at it and he says, well, I don't know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, it's super close, I take out my ruler and whatever. Isn't it as the nature of it? And even if it comes out, it's exactly the same. And he's saying, yeah, but if you learn the sugya, halachically, that's considered like it's considered, and therefore it's okay. So it could be it's saying is that that's not appropriate to, that's not appropriate formulation when it comes to an indicator. You're looking for the Torah setting up for man to check for these indicators, simanim of chiyas, of life and of death. So therefore, it makes sense that the Torah is going to choose a noticeable indicator, not something which is counterintuitive and doesn't really look like it. It's not going to go by like a technical, abstract halachic reality of rov. But the Torah is going to say, check this. Certain things, check. Is there any hole? Any holes of soul. Other things, check if majority is broken. And to check 50-50 is not a rov anir le'anayim. So it's true in other areas of halacha, which just go by a kli, Kli is tame, it goes by rov, the kli is broken, the majority. So that just goes by the underlying halachic reality. Is it broken? Is it not broken? Is it rov? Is it not rov? Even a shchita. Shchita is just mashi animal. Is the kata, rov, kata. Now, is it 50? Is it 50? It has nothing to do with an indicator of the thing. It's not. That's not the nature of the halacha. The halacha is the underlying reality, what was caught. What I'm saying is what the Torah gave us in simanim are practical indicators of life and death. And in that framework, it's saying is the Xerosakosov is Rov Haner Leinayim of a whole of Rov Haner Leinayim, a noticeable Rov in the Vesha, in the Kana, is a Trefa. You know what I mean? So what I'm just saying is that it could be because the nature of what the Torah is doing by Trefos, it's an appropriate formulation to go by Rov Haner Leinayim. You know, as opposed to another area, what is the appearance of Rav have anything to do with it? Who cares? But I'm saying here, the whole idea is that they were setting up checks for the Shochet, for the posting to check them. Halacha is that what is a trefa? A trefa is an animal which is going to die. Okay. That's what trefa is, an animal which has a mortal wound which is going to die. What I'm saying is that we don't actually go to a doctor, a medical examiner, and determine whether it is or is going to die, or would have died or not would have died. But you go by halacha, says that's something that man can't access, can't figure out underlying. Is he really going to die? Is he really going to live? So what it did is it set up certain simanim, certain indicators of life and indicators of death. And if it has one of these death indicators, so then it's defined as a trefa. That's the nature of how the Torah set up the system of trefas.
And set this metric at...
Oh, so the thing is that if you want to set an indicator of death, so it's in the framework of an indicator should be something which a human being is going to notice. An indicator which is not really nearly an ayam, but is a technically an indicator of exactly 50-50, which is not really measurable, and it's going to be hard for a person to determine. It doesn't look like Rove. The indicator is Rove. Now you're saying is rove of a break in the kana is the indicator. Now you're saying is 50% is technically halachically rove, but it doesn't look like rove. A person who measures it isn't going to say it's rove. You're just saying it's the abstract halachic reality. It has a status of rove. So saying is that's not a good indicator. The indicator, a rove as an indicator, is going to be a rove which is to a person is rove. Because that's the name, because that's the way a person measures rove. Person measures rove as he sees this is bigger and this is smaller. But to say that that which is exactly 50-50, it's true, it's technically, according to Rav, has a shame of Rav, has a status of Rav. It's defined as Ruach Kula. What it's saying is, as an indicator of death, in the framework of an indicator, you go by noticeable realities, not by the technical abstract reality, because the nature of the framework is a framework of setting up indicators of Misa. So I don't know if it had to be that way. I'm not saying it has to be. You could have said, look, that's an indicator of death. Take any microscope, measure if it's exactly 50-50, get your best rulers, and that's enough. And it doesn't look that way, but that's the halachic reality, and that's it. What I'm saying is that it's consistent with the concept of being an indicator of rov, and that's exactly the cause of an indicator of death, that it shows something which is nearer leinayim, that a rov and nearer leinayim, a rov which a person could look at and say, oh, that's rov. Not that it's something which is an abstract halachic determination, which doesn't really look like rov, but if you know the sugyas, then it is defined as rov. It's unique to trefas, which is the nature of the thing is the Torah setting up indicators of measuring death, as opposed to like in the kli being tame, it doesn't do with indicators. The question is, the tame of the kli is dependent upon the kli being intact. Now a majority is intact, then it's still tame. So that's not Torah setting up an indicator, it's a different system.
If the kli is really close and you can't tell, like...
So, look, we can't tell. It's Yeshua Tzantzin, whatever, it doesn't matter. And if 50-50 is considered rov, and it's 50-50, then that's considered whatever.
But here...
Here, the whole system is that we're dealing with an area that man can't ultimately figure out, life and death. And the Torah is doing is setting up measures for man, indicators for man to be able to define the thing as dead or alive based on these indicators.
Uh-huh.
So it's saying is, in that framework, it's appropriate that the indicator is going to be something which is like, I guess, natural, observable for a man, not an abstract technical halachic status. I'm not saying it had to be that way. I'm just trying to give a sense that the answer to the question is saying, look, that's Yosef Kosov, is it older than I am? That's what he's saying. That's what the Torah demands. I'm just saying is that it's it's sensible that in general, according to Rav, Rav goes by the exact 50-50, but here it demands an early night. The main point is that, I guess it's similar to what you're saying, in the distinction, is that it's not getting at the underlying reality, is it going to die, is it going to live? We can't do that, how are we supposed to do that? We're not doctors, and we're not figuring it out. But the Torah set up observables by which we could tell. So the very nature of the setup is not getting at the underlying reality, but the Torah setting up the thing, indicators for man to look at and measure and determine whether it's a trefa. So therefore, the category doesn't go by the underlying reality of whether it is rov or not. The nature of the halacha is the Torah setting up methods for man to be mavdil, whether it's a trefa or it's not a trefa. As opposed to by Tuman Tyra, that's not the nature of the system. The nature of the system is the time that there's such a thing as Tuman Tyra, such a thing as Shechita. But here, there's such a thing that the nature of the thing is death, and we can't know, so the Torah is setting up, like, so to speak, somewhat artificial, halachafa, objectified measures by which man determines life and death. And when it comes to that type of a thing, it's appropriate to use things which go by man's eyes and which we seeing is appropriate, not to go by something which is based on a purely abstract thing.
What? General science,
yeah.
So
yeah, right. It's not an exact science in the first place of whether it's actually dead or alive. It's setting up a tool. The essence of a trefa is that man measures and determines, meets the criteria which is set up for a man to measure and determine. It doesn't mean if it's exactly 50%, then it's going to die. And the Torah is setting up a system by which you define it as, the Torah is setting up and has to draw a line somewhere. So it's saying it's appropriate line for the Torah to draw is something which is nira for a person. A person who's using it will say, oh yeah, that's rough. Not something that he's going to have to measure up to the finest detail in order to measure, but it should be something which is nicker. Torah, what's the indicator? Rove? Well, a person will look at it and say it's not rov, and that's not a good, then that doesn't meet the criteria. The criteria is, it's like a user-friendly system, because the whole nature of the thing is you're not getting at the underlying reality. You're just going by that which is given as an indicator for man to assess and say that's the line, and met the line. So it's setting up those indicators which are narrow. Again, I'm not saying it has to be this way. I'm just saying it lends itself. It's like in line with the area that it would go by Nira. Nira is reasonable when it comes to an area like this where the Torah is, so to speak, artificially setting up Samana, as opposed to where you're dealing with the underlying reality of what is the Maisa. Is it Rov? Is it not Rov? Hey, let's look. It's interesting. Let's go a little further and maybe we will help bring this out. The question is, what does Rov and Erlein Ayin mean exactly? Okay? What does Rov and Erlein mean? So we did a Rashi yesterday, and it was a little bit unclear what he meant. Okay, and the Ramban says what he meant, how he interprets it. He was also, and I was looking for a Rashi yesterday, I couldn't find it. The Ramban takes it up explicitly. The Rashba also does. I just didn't know. I was looking in the wrong place yesterday. But let's look at Rashi. What he says. He says, "What does it mean?" Because the Gemara says, "By treifa you need Rov haner Erleinayim." So on the surface, what does that mean? It means that it's noticeable that it's Rov. So what's considered noticeable as Rov? 70%? 60%? 50? I'm sorry, 55? 51? 50.01? What exactly is the line? When's it nearly an item? You know? For instance, there's sometimes halacha of Ruben de Minkara, like my minion, there's certain cases where you need 7, which is Ruben de Minkara. 6 is a necker that it's Rov, you need 7. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you need it to be noticeable that it's a Rov. It sounds like that a little bit. So let's see what Rashi says. Rov an erlein ayin. Kilomar. That is to say, Rov gamor. An actual Rov. A real gamor. A complete majority. Shehu nicker. That is nicker. Problem is, it sounds a little contradictory, the Rashi. Because Rov gamor sounds like it means not 50%. But more than 50%, a majority, a real majority, not a halachic, that which is not really a majority, but halacha says it's considered like a majority. Like 50% is not technically a majority, but halachically, according to Rav, is considered a majority. Rov gamor means a real majority, which in theory would mean 50.01, As long as it's more than 50%, that's a real majority. It's a real gomor. But then he says, shehu nikar. Shehu nikar. 1 second, that's not exactly nikar. If it's 50.01, is it really nikar? Mm-hmm. And is it nearly an ayam? Is it nikar? So it's like you're kind of stuck. Well, by Rashi, it's not, you have like contraindications of what he means. But Rashi, why did Rashi say, well, why couldn't Gemara say nikar nearly an ayam? So Rashi could have just said, nikar. Why is he saying Rov Gamor? Rov Gamor sounds like he's going away from Nerlei Naim. But then the Migmar is Nerlei Naim, and Rashi does say Shehu Nikar, which is noticeable. Right? So it sounds like, which one is it? Is it Nikar, which sounds like it needs more than like maybe 55% or something? I don't know. Or is it just go by Rov Gamor, which technically means a literal Rov? Right? So there's two ways to go. So if we look at the Ramban and the Rashba, learn Rashi. They interpret Rashi for us. And that's why I was arguing yesterday what Rashi means, but I had seen the Rishonim before. I just forgot which one it was. But it says, I mean, I think from Rashi itself, you'd be in a quandary. You wouldn't really know which way to go. But Ramban says like this. Pirish Rashi, she rov gomor, the nicker. Pirish lipirusha. Ramban. A pirish, Rashi is supposed to be a pirish, but sometimes a pirish needs a pirish. Okay, and maybe we could be a pirish, a pirish, a pirish. Pirish, a pirish. The afuke mechza al mechza, shena karov. It's to exclude 50%, which is not rov. Shekol shehu yosari mechza, because any time it's more than 50%, nira le'naimo. It is nira le'naimo. As Rashi's telling you, what does nira le'naimo mean? It means more than 50%. Shehu nikar. That is nikar. 50% is a nikar. 50.01. That is nikar. Okay? Not clear exactly why, but that's what he's saying. It's not... Here's a little further. V'ein perusho kinyan shama v'brachos ruba d'minkara v'inan. It doesn't mean, like in the Gemara Brachos, that you need a ruba d'minkara. I think maybe it was by Zimon there, when he was 10, to say, okay, no, maybe you need a Rov Nikar, a noticeable Rov. Shehu Rov Gadol Shenikar Meirachok. There, it means a big Rov, which is noticeable from far away. If you're far away and you look at it, then it looks like a Rov. That's what it means there. It doesn't mean that here. It does, then it would mean more than 50.01. You'd need, I don't know, more. Teda, I'll prove it to you. Tagabe Trefa got Nami Amrus of Bain and Rovan Elenayim, by Trefa says Rovan Elenayim. In Savik, Shakosha Yosem Matza, Bain Machor Hashadra, Bain Makana Pagam Trefa. Here's Rashi's all. He says, by Trefa, Palacha is Rovan Elenayim, as it makes a Trefa. And everyone knows you don't need 55% to make a Trefa. That's just like a fact. Whoever heard of that? You need any, I mean, it's kind of begs the question, but that's what he's saying is, no one, it's definitely Pasha, no one's going to argue that that's the case. V'tani v'toros kohanim. Listen to this. Is the price in toros kohanim? It says as follows. And this, I think, is interesting. Gets to the way you were saying. It's interesting. U'lahavdil v'en hatame u'v'en hatar. And to be mavdil, the Torah says, it's a mitzvah, to be mavdil between the tame and the tar. Right? We have a chumash. Maybe v'yikra. It says like this. I think it's Yudbeis. Those Torahs of Hema, La'of, whatever. L'havdil bein ha-tamei o'vein ha-tahar. Person should differentiate, be mavdil, between that which is tamei and that which is tahar. Right? U'vein ha-chai ha-ne'achalas v'en ha-chai ha-shelo se'achal. And between ha-chai, which is eatable, edible, or not. You can eat and you can't eat. So the Gemara is with the Ramban quotes. It's Rashi. Sarach lomor bein chamar l'para. Look from a parashim him. But a person has to be mavdil between a chamar and a para. Between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal, it's pashat. I mean, it's easy. You don't have to be mavdil. What kind of mavdil? You have to differentiate whether the thing's a chamor or a bara. He says, "Okay, matam al havdil bein atame bein atar." What does it mean? Tame and tar. Is it a pig? Is it a cow? Obviously, so you know it's a pig or a cow. So you don't have to be mavdil. It's easy to be mavdil. Bein behema tameya lecha, bein tahor lecha. It means to be mavdil between that which is tame to you. And Tahara to you. Now that behema temeya means split hooves, that, you know, that whole thing. Doesn't mean that. It means something which is Tahara to you and Tame to you, kosher to you and treif to you. What? Be nishchat rubo shalkana, lo nishchat elachatzio. Between that which is shechted rov and that which is only shechter chatzia, half. Oh, this is a little bit of a different point. It's not what you're saying. I'll fill you in on some facts. Okay, what does it mean? V'kamahu rubein rubo l'chatzio. How much is the difference between rov and half? Melo saira, a hair breath. Hair breath difference. What's the difference between 50% and rov? A hair breath. So you have to, you see what's it saying when it comes to shchita. What is rov? Rov is 50.01. Now you'll say this is by shchita, it's not by treifa, right? That's kind of, we were talking about treifa a minute ago, not by shchita. But the Gemara ends up, this is why I forgot to mention this, the Gemara ends up saying is that really you always need rov and erlin ayin, not only by treifas, but it's rov always needs an erlin ayin, which is this rov gamma. And then the question is, what does that mean? So it turns out what we were talking about by treifa ends up being the case by shchita, that you need it to be this rov gamor, this rov and erlin ayin. But you see, this brisa the Ramban is quoting is what's considered rov gamor, rov and erlin ayin, a hair breadth more than 50%. Right? It doesn't have to be near erlin ayin means that a person could see it from far away. And that's what he's saying is the mitzvah. L'havdil bein atami bein atar. How you mavdil? You take out your very fine measuring utensil and you see whether it's a hair breadth more on the one side or not. And if it's a hair breadth more than rov, then that's it. More than 50%, then it's good. So he's using this to support that Rashi, or that the halacha of rov and erlin does not mean, like you think it might mean, that it's noticeable from a distance. It doesn't mean that. Rather, once it's more than 50%, then it's nicker. And when it says rov and erlin, it's excluding 50%, which is technically, halachically rov, but is not nira. It's not nicker. That is rough. Okay. So what does he mean that it's noticeable? By the way, this is what the Ramban, the Rashba, they say the Ran, and they say this is a Rashi held. But the Taz brings down that, I think the Aguda and the Mordechai, and he brings down a few later Rishonim and Achronim, want to say that no, it has to be you need it to be nearly nine means more. It has to really be nearly nine. I don't know if they give an exact number, but they learn like it really has to be narrow, not just the hair's breadth more. Okay, so it has to be narrow. So on the surface they have a good point. What is nearly nine? What's the Ramban saying? Nearly nine means, like, what's that question? Does nearly nine mean I have to actually be visible, like from a distance, or is it just, how does he mean that once it's a tiny bit more than it's nicker? How is that nicker? Yeah, I mean, I think Rafi's right. Is that nicker? There could be two ideas of nicker. It could be nicker to the naked eye, or it could be nicker to the discerning, the measuring eye. Okay, it means nicker means that man could notice that it's rove. Well, you could tell.
It just says near LA 9. It doesn't say.
Yes, but that's what Rashi, the Ramban is saying. It doesn't mean that. It means, no, that's what he's saying, that's what Rashi means. Yeah, right. Near Naim, exactly. In Naim, there's two different kinds of eyes, right? Yeah, and that's what he's saying. It's nicker. The Ramban saying is that he means nicker. That's why Rashi says rov gomor. 50% is not nicker. You can look as hard as you want. You're never going to see the rov in 50%. You have to have a svara and say, halachically, that's considered conceptually the same thing as rov. Because whatever svara you say. But you'll never notice it with your eyes. Because it's not with your eyes, it's not a rov. You have to use your mind and come up with a svara and say, oh yeah, that's halachically considered like rov, because conceptually a rov has a certain significance, and then it's also whatever. But it's not a rov and nearly an ayin. It's just a halachic rov. It's nearer to your mind's eye, not to your eyes. But rov and nearly an ayin means it's a rov, a visible rov. But not to the naked eye. It doesn't mean it's like a manifest rove. It just means it's a discernible rove. It's a measurable rove. The rove could be measured by a person. Once it's a tiny bit more than 50%, then it's measurable. Because you take any measurement, and it's a hair breadth more. And if it's not, then it's not. Then by what do you mean that it's more than rove? If all your utensils say that it's 50%, then you can't measure it, then it's not nicker. And he's saying it really is, then what does that mean? I mean, if it's, so far as your measures are concerned, then it's not rov. So saying is you have to be If you measure it and it's 50%, then you could say, technically speaking, you could argue it's halach v'rov, but it's saying is, no, that's not rov v'nanayim. Rov v'nanayim means that's me nicker. What it says, what Rashi says, rov gomor. It has to be a rov gomor. Why does it say rov v'nanayim then? Just say rov gomor then. Shouldn't the Gemara just have said rov gomor? Why isn't we even introducing v'nanayim? Just say, shiny trefa de be'ina rov gomor. Right, wouldn't that do the same thing? Right? Be'ina rov gomor. Right? Rov gomor. I mean, unless you say he's explaining what does rov gomor mean. Rov gomor means something which a person can measure as a rov. But, and it's hard, because just say rov gomor. We know rov gomor means. Rov gomor means real rov. Real majority. Right? But why is it saying nearly nayim? But it could be, it's what we just said, is that the svara for why the Torah demands a rov gomor is because the Torah wants to have something which is noticeable. Like at least by trefa, the Torah wants it to be a noticeable rov, a nicker rov, to be a simon. So it's like the nearly nayim is giving a little bit of the reason why the Torah is saying rov gomor. If in general ruba kikula works at 50% according to Rav, so what's the sense of saying is that all of a sudden the Torah is saying you need a rov gomor? Well, that's not the universal rule. That's not the way it works. But it's saying is, no, because by trefa, the Torah wants nearly an ayin. Torah doesn't want you to just have a technical rov, but it wants you to have a rov which is nicker, which a person can discern, which a person can be mavdil. To say that which a person isn't going to be able to be mavdil and measure it, and just say that's not what Torah is going for. So therefore, the Torah demands a rov gomor. So halachically, you just need a rov gomor. But the idea is because the Torah wants it to be nicker. So it's like saying both. Rov gomor is the halachic requirement that it's a rov gomor, it's a real rov. But nicker is like the sense behind the demand, why the Torah breaks from the ordinary rule, which rov, according to Rav, is rov is 50%. And here it's saying is the Torah wants the quality of nicker in it. Therefore it says, go for a rov gomor. But it's not, I mean, the others are learning, apparently the other Rishonim, those others are learning, that a rov v'nanayim means it's like discernible to the naked eye. It's really like a rov nicker. A noticeable rov. Not just a rov, which is measurable to the, you know, I mean, I might go further than that, maybe go further in that question. But is it like a measurable rov, or like a, I guess, discernible rov, or obvious, no, manifest rov? They're learning it means you need a manifest rov. But that's not, that's what Ramban is, that's what he added. That's not what it means. That's not what Rashi means. But, yeah. What we're going to do now, and I think we have to do this next, is the Gemara's not happy with this. The Gemara's not happy with saying that really, in general, you need 50%. But here is an exception. The Trefa needs a Rov v'nanayim. The Gemara's going to reject it. Going to ask a Kal v'chomer question on it. Going to say, how could you say that in Trove, in Trefa, it's enough to have 50%? I'm sorry, you need 51%, yet in Shlita, you're only going to have 50%. How could that be? And it's going to ask a Kal v'chomer. Okay, it's going to, and that's going to be our job tomorrow, is to try to understand this Kal v'chomer. Okay? I mean, you kind of got to get the chesed. It's a little tiny bit of chesed, but it's basically, it's going to have a Kal v'chomer. And using Kal v'chomer is going to knock out the halacha, this chiluk of saying that shchita really demands 50%, but and 50% is rov, but trefa is different because nearer than I am. Basically, going to say if you're going to tell me trefa needs nearer than I am, then shchita should also need nearer than I am. And on the surface, it's not clear. The Kal v'chomer doesn't really get around our svara. But that's going to be our job, is to be able to figure out the, you know, how it works. Okay?